please turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 28. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we welcome your Spirit now to speak to us through your Word. Lord, we admit to you that we are deaf without you, that we are lost in our trespasses and sins. And yet, Jesus, you came and gave your life for us that we might know you forever, and that we might boldly walk into the Father's throne room. So we do that this morning, and we ask you to speak to us, to lead us, and help us to follow you, Lord. We're so grateful you left the throne in heaven to speak, to come and to live among us, that we might know you and the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So our country was built on stubbornness. I grew up right near, I grew up in the Boston area, and the Tea Party, the Boston Tea Party, was built on a bunch of colonists not wanting British tea. They said, forget it, and they threw it into the harbor, as they would say up there. But down here, you know, down here we got the Declaration of Independence not far away. The Declaration of what? Independence. We're not going to let those Brits tell us what to do. We will be
free.
We will be free. We will be independent. Nobody's going to tell us what to do. But hey, we start right off, you know. I mean, little kids, no. Another sinner born, another independent one born, and saying, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I see some grandparents already. Is it happening? I don't know. And a perfect little granddaughter. We don't like to give in to others, whether it be a parent or a teacher or a boss or sometimes a coach or even God. And so we have the 10 suggestions, you know, the 10 appearances. When Jesus came, he said to the religious people today, he said, you guys are just playing games. He said, you're really not obeying the Lord from within. And if they were honest, they said, well, that's kind of the way we like it. We don't like even God telling us what to do. And we got the same problem. We don't like even God telling us what to do. But what Mark says in this gospel, in these quick Jesus' quick entrance onto the scene, what he's saying is that the way that the new beginning happens, the way that we join the kingdoms, the king's new beginning, is by giving in to him, by making him our king. It's by submitting to God's good news, the gospel, that we enter God's realm and his kingship. It all begins right here at the beginning of Mark's gospel with a compelling call. Which may or may not go. Here we go. Okay. So there's a big shift that happens where John the Baptist now leaves the scene. You remember what was going on, that Jesus at the beginning of the gospel was baptized. He went down to the Jordan River where these large crowds were gathering. John says, who am I to baptize you? I'm not even worthy to unlatch your sandal. And Jesus says, let it be done so that I might be an example, that I might fulfill all righteousness, so that I can do things as people are doing them, because I'm teaching you to follow me. But then from there, then he moves on to Galilee. You'd think he'd go down into the big city, but no, he goes to Galilee. And he calls his subjects from all over the lake. And Jesus announces good news. He says, God's kingdom is near. God's kingdom has come for everyone. He said, repent and believe the good news that his kingdom has begun, and you can join his reign by submitting to his good news. And he taps us on the shoulder. He says, hey, you can be part of my kingship. You can be part of my reign. He says, turn around, believe the good news. The kingdom is not future. It's an already but not yet kingdom. Jesus says, my kingdom has come and you can be part of it now. It wasn't through their efforts that the kingdom had come. It's not through our efforts that the kingdom of God comes. It's through what God did. He broke into history through Jesus, and we can join in on what God is doing. And so the king calls his subjects from all over Galilee. And what he says is, follow me. Follow me and fish for people. He starts with a couple of little-time fishermen. He starts off with Simon and Andrew. Notice how they're doing their fishing. They're throwing a net into the water. That's all that they had. A lot of people fish that way. He says, leave your net behind. Come and fish for people with me. But then there were the big-time fishermen that were there. There was James and John. Now, James and John, it says, were mending their nets. And they had a boat. And they had a whole crew. And Jesus says to them, leave the boat, leave your dad behind. Their dad was running, their dad apparently owned the operation. Leave it behind. Leave your inheritance behind. Come with me and fish for people. And what happens is, the big shots go and fish for people. The little shots, the small-time fishermen, they go and fish for people. People of all different strata, people of all different situations are compelled by Christ to leave everything they've got and go behind and leave behind and go and to join his fishing expedition. And millions have been compelled by Christ to do this throughout the centuries. They've left their little boats. They've left their nets on the shore. They've left their situation. They've left their location, some of them, as we heard about last week, investing a lifetime in Thailand or in supporting those who go to places like Thailand. And this has gone on for thousands of years. It's not just a calling for people to go to Thailand. It's for people that live in York or Lancaster County. It's not just for those that are in leadership in the church. It's for everybody. It's not just for the Alliance churches, but it's for other families of churches. It's for people that have a lot in life. It's people that have nothing in life. It's people like most of us that have kind of sort of in between in life. Jesus calls all of us from where we are to join his fishing expedition. He compels us all to fish for people. I had two grandfathers that are involved in fishing in two different ways. So my mother's father, Grandpa Otto, was a Swedish immigrant. He'd grown up fishing in the northern part of Sweden in the deep cold ice fishing. And that's the way they survived in the winter. Moved to this country. He and my grandmother, whom I can't imagine doing this, went with their cousin and his wife. And they went fishing, the four of them. I never saw my grandmother fish, but that's what they did. Every summer, they went to Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, and they spent a week at a cabin. I imagined them in a little boat fishing. And then they went home. And my grandpa was involved in the harvest there. He was a contractor. He built things for a living, and he was known for doing an honest day's work, doing a very good job of building houses throughout the Chicago area. He was very quiet, like my grandmother was, but every Sunday morning he was at the door welcoming people to church, and he built the pulpit in that church, which proclaimed the good news, his way of being involved in the harvest. My other grandfather was a fish peddler in New Jersey. Had come from a poor family, came to Jesus after his mother had through a Salvation Army preacher whom I've told you about. And then as a young man, he gave his life to Christ. God blessed his business. He moved up to New Bedford, Massachusetts eventually and got, and his business swelled. They were cutting fish for grocery stores all over the East Coast. And then he got involved in the harvest. He got involved in his church, but he would bring in preachers, during lunch hours for his crew. I think he paid him for that. And they would listen and get a free meal if they would listen to the message. And then he would hold fish fries for people all over southeastern New England, bring the churches together, feed them fish, and bring in a really good speaker to share the good news of Jesus, and then to draw the nets so that others might know Jesus too. Jesus calls us, whatever, from little operations to from bigger operations, to be involved in his fishing expedition. He calls us to join him. This is about people. It's not about buildings, as wonderful as buildings are. It's not about programs. It's not even so much about churches. It's about people and being involved and leaving everything behind so that we can be involved in drawing the nets so that others might know him too. It's a compelling call that he has for us, but then also amazing teaching, verses 21 through 28. In verses 21 to 20, we see here that it's not like human teaching. Jesus gets these two sets of brothers and he brings them to Capernaum where they were from. This was their home area. Again, he's not going up to the big city where the big shots were. He's going out into everyday life in Capernaum by the lake. And he goes to the synagogue. Now, these were people that didn't have books. Most of them couldn't read. There was no printing presses, no bookstore to go to, but there were scrolls. And so as a rabbi would come to town, they would go to the synagogue, which was sort of a combination church and town hall, and that's where the people gathered. And then they'd be gathering together on the Sabbath, the day of worship for them, and they would go over on the rack, and he would grab a scroll and he would read. And they were amazed as they heard this new rabbi read. Because he was reading as if he had written it. He wasn't reading about it, you know, like third person, like Isaiah said this or Moses said this. He would say, here is what God says. And he wrote it. He read as if he had said it. They said, this is a new kind of, there's something going on here. He has some kind of authority that we haven't seen before. And in fact, we see in verse 23 that he teaches with results. As Jesus is reading one time, a man who is demonized screams out from the crowd, from the congregation. He says, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." And Jesus looks at that man and he says, "Come out of him. Be quiet. Come out of him." And this man is thrown into convulsions and the demons depart from this man with a shriek. And the man is in his right mind and the people are amazed. What's happening? What's going on here? This new teaching with authority, even the evil spirits obey, they say. And the word starts spreading around like wildfire. Jesus' teaching is like nothing they have seen, and it has results. You see, Jesus is proclaiming himself as the truth. He hasn't learned about the truth, though he would have studied with rabbis. But he's saying is that he is the truth. Jesus embodies the truth. He would, you know, it wasn't just that he had gone to rabbinical school. It wasn't just that he'd done an apprenticeship. Jesus is proclaiming that he is the truth, and he comes and he defeats his earthly opponents, spiritual opponents. There's nobody like him. It's like back in Psalm 2, when the nations of the world were setting themselves against the Lord. And the Lord just sits back. He says, I've installed my king on my holy hill. And it says that God laughs. He laughs. Oh, let them throw things at me. Let them throw darts. Let them shoot their arrows. Let them get out their missiles. Nothing stops him. Our God is on his throne in the person of Jesus Christ. And so let's turn. Let's turn and let's see him high and exalted, high on the throne, as the prophet Isaiah put him or described him. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. There is no one with authority like him. I want to invite you this morning to join his kingdom mission. Need some help from some kids, I think, to pass some things out. And put you to work here, Tucker. So what I'd like you to do, here we go, and I have some more if we need them, so pass one out so everybody's got one. Might be good if I have one too. Tucker, why don't I have one just to make sure, okay? Okay, thank you. So what I'd like you to do is to take a minute and ask, who's the skipper of your boat? You see, what the Lord has done is he's invited us on a royal fishing trip to draw all the nations to the king. And we join his kingship. We join by accepting the king's forgiveness. Because we said, well, we'd rather do things our way. He said, no. He said, it's my expedition. It's my kingdom that has come. He said, it's not about you. And so we say, Lord, thank you for coming and giving your life for me so that I might be forgiven, that I might be part of your kingship. And then we follow the king. We say, Lord, I'm leaving all my stuff behind and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to join your fishing trip. I'm going to welcome the Spirit into my life. I'm going to preview the kingdom to come is by your grace as I live life your way instead of my way. And then we're going to invite others to join him. Notice, this is Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. It's about people. And it's about everybody being involved in this fishing expedition. So, who's your skipper? Are you at the wheel? Or what's that old country song said, Jesus take the wheel? Jesus take the wheel. So write down who your skipper is. And then where do you fish? Where do you spend most of your time? Is it in your neighborhood? Is it at school? Is it at work? Is it at a town office, some of you? Present or past? Is it with your family? And then, as you're fishing with Jesus, who are your fish? You look down into the water around your boat. Again, this is Jesus' expedition, not yours. Who are your fish? Write them down. And then, as I did something like this actually at district conference, knowing I was going to do this already. And I started writing down different environments where I am. And I actually had 4 or 5 boats, I think, where I'm fishing right now. And I bet you do too. I was surprised how many people I could write down. So write down their names. And then here's what I want you to do. Pray for them. Pray for them until Thanksgiving, when we're going to have a service of thanksgiving to God. And pray that the Lord would draw them in. That John says that nobody comes to Jesus, nobody comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. Jesus does this work. He's the skipper. He's the one that has the sonar going. He really knows what's going on. God is at work in ways that you and I don't know. He's working in people's lives. And then when will you invite them to hear about the skipper? Wouldn't it be great if each of the Sundays between now and Thanksgiving, each of us was bringing somebody new. Somebody to hear about Jesus. We're going to be talking about Jesus from now till Thanksgiving. And we will after that too. But before the Lord, when will you invite them? When will you invite them to hear about the skipper? We have other things going on. There's other opportunities as well as a morning service. But it's here that we exalt Christ and where others can hear about him. It's here also that something that we heard this week, so I was talking about, it's here where love is expressed. In the New Testament, the primary indicator of our faith in Christ is our love for one another. And we've already seen a lot of love expressed in this place. And that's the beauty of a church our size, where we know each other. And we can love each other, and we can care for one another as we pray, as we share, as we live life together in the name of Jesus. When we lived in Maine, we had several little boys about this size. I used to take them fishing, sort of. As I'd take them fishing, and the last time I remember fishing with them, what I remember is 3 of them in a tree, and I'm holding like 3 lines. And I think mine was on the ground. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with this picture? And I said, and asked them about it. They said, Dad, we never catch any fish. And I thought, well, okay, that's fair. And maybe you feel that way about sharing your faith with others. People that you love, people that you care about, people in your family, people at work, people at school, people in your neighborhood. But let me tell you what happened after that. We knew a young man by the name of Alan Eldridge. And Alan was a fish guide, a fishing guide. He'd grown up in that area. He knew every fishing hole that there was. And I took my 3 boys on a boat with Alan, and we went across a little pond, and those fish were biting like crazy. And we had some fish for dinner that night. My friends, I want you to have hope. Jesus has come. And this isn't our fishing expedition. This is his expedition. He knows where the fish are. He's the one that draws them into the net. You know all those gospel stories, and we'll get to some of them, where he just says, okay, now put it on the other side, and it makes no sense. It's because he's the one that draws them in. Jesus is doing this throughout our region. Jesus is doing it around the world, and he will keep doing it until he's drawn them all in. And then we're all sitting around the throne, praising him red and yellow, black and white. All are precious in his sight. And we give him praise forever and ever. And he's the only one that gets the credit. But we have the joy of being part of it. So let's leave our fishing rods aside. Let's move ahead with the master fisherman. Let him be the skipper. Identify the people whom he has sovereignly placed in your life. He's put you in that fishing, in that area to do some fishing. And start praying and praying and praying. Follow his lead. Pray that they'll be drawn to himself. And say, yes, Jesus, I'm gonna cast a rod. I'm gonna throw out a net. When you say, go. Let's pray together. Jesus, we are so grateful that you came from heaven. Grateful that the Father loved us enough to send you to do some fishing. To call people of all different backgrounds from all over the lake and from all over the world that we might know you like you know the Father. And Lord, we are grateful that you called us to be part of your expedition. Lord, we're humbled. Because Lord, there's nothing we can do to draw people to you. But you've promised to do that by your Spirit, and we get to be part of it. Jesus, would you guide us as we pray? Would you guide us as we obey? And Lord, we would pray for a great celebration of many whom you have drawn to yourself. Thank you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.